The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Barrington Awaken. Thank you for taking this beautiful day to tune into our show. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for being there. I want to say early welcome home to everyone. We talk about raising you to a higher level of consciousness, to bring you into the now, to wake you up, to let you realize that you are all that is great. Everything about you is great. To let you know whatever you choose to do in life, it is up to you. And the effort you put in will definitely reflect the end result. Whatever you put in, you will get out. I've always said, if you plant corn, you're going to reap corn. If you plant carrots, you're going to reap carrots. So whatever effort you put into wanting something in life, anything you choose, any desire you have, apply yourself to it accordingly, and the God in you will let you achieve that goal. Wake up is what we talk about. We want you to realize that you are limitless, and the education that you seek and you find in life is for the purpose of what you hope to accomplish. Wake up. Realize that you showed up on this planet with all the tools that are necessary to build greatness. You are great already. You were born great. You are fantastic. And this is just the realization that you have the ability to build yourself to the higher level of consciousness, which is what's required to connect you to the true self, to let you know there's a lot more to you than you're consciously aware of. Wake up. Spirituality is the gateway to get you through what you seek. Spirituality and connecting yourself to what is nature's way of life, the spiritual connection or your connective method to all of life, the journey in which that will give you the knowledge that is required or reveal the knowledge that you already have and how to accomplish what you set out to accomplish in life. Wake up is what we talk about. We want you to know that you showed up with every single tool that is required to bring you to the God self that you are. We want you to know that if there is a God that exists, and I do know there is, the God is you. You have that ability within yourself to accomplish greatness, and you are great. You are not lesser, or is it possible that you could be lesser than someone else that walks the same space as you? We have come here by the same method. We will live our lives, and what we accomplish is our desire to find out our purpose. It's what we apply ourselves for. I urge you to do it in a positive manner. You will act the way you are thinking. So it would be wise to be thinking positive all the time, and that your glass is always half full. You've accomplished so much, and the ability to go further is within you. We talk about wanting you to meditate, because by meditating, it brings you closer to the nature's connectivity as to who you are. Our instinctive message board, our instinctive internet, if you want to call that, that will get us the information that we seek. When you set out to get things in life, you must have a guidance. If you have no knowledge of where you're trying to go, where are you going? Or if you have no knowledge of what you're trying to do, what exactly are you doing? Connect yourself to the life, connect yourself to the vine, connect yourself to nature's way. Let the soul that resides within you connect to all that there is, everything else that surrounds you. We're talking today about, we want to talk today about being God, and this is our topic. Everybody will ask who God is, or what, or where. Well, take a good look in the mirror, because that's where he is, or it, or she, or whatever you want to label it as. It is within you. So the God that exists is you. That is very hard for a lot of people to hear, and not a lot of people are not willing to accept that. If we're on this planet and we have our differences in beliefs, and we believe, some believe that their method through life and their belief in God is the truth, the absolute truth. They believe that. Another group believes the very same thing, but they're speaking of another God. I'd like to tell you it's all the same. However, because we have our differences in what we believe, we fight one another, we argue with one another, we kill one another, we're trying to convince them that our way is best and theirs is wrong. Because they're looking at that path through life, believing that their method is the best and the only and the truth of God, the absolute truth. And of course, another group of people totally disagrees with all of that. When we're here and we believe one group and we disbelieve the other group, we argue and we try to fight or try to convert or try to kill. In most cases, we do all three. It proves that if there is one God, we will all have the same idea, but because we have different beliefs in who or what this God is, we fight each other. At the same time, doesn't that just prove that there is one God? Because they would be fighting each other if there were two or three or four gods. Yeah, they too would be having a war among themselves, trying to prove the dominance of their whatever they consider to be superior. So they're not fighting themselves. We are, because we believe in different groups. So it proves, or it tells me anyway, that there's one God. And whoever you address him or her at, or how, it's okay. You're still speaking to the same source. You're still communicating with the same source. If your method of communication is pray, or your method of communicating is meditate, you're still doing it to the same source, no matter what language you're using, because you're speaking to self. Some of the books believe that we are created by a higher being, and some of the beliefs that we want to create a greater sense, a greater self, that we can justify all the things we don't understand. So we fictitiously create a superior being, like a superhero. And if we believe this superhero is all great and good and can handle and take care of everything, then we will not have to worry about anything. They'll take care of it. It's not the case. That's not the case at all. The superhero is you. And to give your worries or concern to another so you don't need to worry or be concerned, you're enabling yourself from growth. You're stopping yourself from seeking truth. You are stopping yourself from finding the absolute truth because you've accepted a story that was told to you. And you conclude, yeah, this is it, I'm good, put my foot up, lay back, and have a beer. Well, if you're not growing, you're not seeking, you are, you're allowing yourself to end this life being ignorant. You buy into something without proof. You are accepting the fact that you will end this journey ignorant. Wake up, everybody, is what we talk about. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I want to thank everybody for being a part of our show. If you're out there listening, thank you for coming. The old-time listeners from wherever you are in the world and you're listening to this today, thanks to the internet, it's amazing. Thank you for being a part of our show. To all the old-time listeners as well as the new listeners, welcome home. I want to say a special hello to Emma, our waitress, that did an amazing job yesterday. I did tell her, she's up in the North End, I would say hello to her, and she was intrigued with the idea of the show and said she was going to listen to the show today and try to adapt this into her life. What I would like to say, Emma, is there are no such things as coincidence, and something falls into your face, into your plate, into your view for the first time. It's a message that's being sent out. Therefore, because we don't believe we don't believe in coincidences, we have to accept the fact that all that happens will happen for a reason. Good luck with your schooling, and I hope you accomplish what you set out to accomplish, and thank you for being a part of the Barrington Awakened show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome home. I've touched into the idea a little bit a minute ago of we're going to talk about God, because everybody wants to know who, what, where, how the God exists. And I've said in the intro that we create a superhero for ourselves so we could relax and not have to worry about taking care of or answering all those difficult questions. We're seeking for something greater, and in doing such, we create this fictitious hero that's going to come and rescue us. You may not want to hear this right now, but your rescuer is you. You are the one who's going to rescue yourself. Therefore, you have to understand that if the God exists, the God is you. You need to know that. So, our show, we talk about waking up. And the question is always being asked is there a God? The answer is yes. Where is that God? The God is within you. Who is our creator? You are your own creator. The universe that we're part of offers the ingredients. And I've talked to you about baking that cake and putting the right ingredients and ingredients together to create this masterpiece. The ingredients that you need to create everything exist on this planet, in the universe. The universe is not around you. The universe is within you. Everything that exists on this planet is a part of you, meaning that you're part of all that there is. The God life is the soul that makes this move. If you could look at your hand and move the fingers, that would be the life that makes that move through the thoughts that you may have had. When you want to create, you want to pick up, you want to throw, you want to do everything, the life that exists in you is giving you that ability to do that. Everything that is alive on this planet has God, like your animal, your pet, the neighbor, the fish. If it carries life, you are a part of it. You are the God that exists. Therefore, there's no one greater than you other than how you see yourself. And of course, there can be nobody lesser than you because it's not possible. It is how you see yourself. God is you. If you didn't buy into the stories that were told to all of us about the great be-all and end-all superior knowledge, wisdom, person, it, entity, source, anything that exists out there, we would forever be in our journey to find this creator. And it is not hidden, but it is in a place where we were told not to look for it. We were told to look for it out there. Well, there's nothing out there. All of that is within you. Look within. See your abilities. Learn to understand exactly who you are. Know your purpose. Understand that everything that you hope to accomplish in life is within your grasp, your thoughts. The soul that lives within us, just a little bit above the heart, is the life that exists. The God that exists is you. You need, and I've had calls on the radio here before where people are saying, if I am God, how come I don't have superpowers? Well, you do. You have this amazing ability to hear, feel, taste, react, create, and do everything you want. I was listening to this lady telling us her desires to create her own business and to help children and study this, and then in university doing the same thing right now. And that's a process in which you have to fashion what you want out of life by putting it in front of you. You will see it and you will create it. You see it, it comes towards you. And let me say that also works in the reverse if it's a negative thing. Because if you see the negativity, you're ordering that to come to you. So make sure you're ordering what is positive, and you could see yourself being successful as you hope to be. Rich, if that's the case. More importantly, you have to see it as being healthy. You have to see you want health. And with that comes happiness, and everything else truly, really doesn't matter, but we tend to want more. We want to be rich. When we ask people, what is it like? Why do they want to be rich? They will say, so they can have stuff. Well, beautiful, or feel comfortable. You could do all that. And I say a lot is that getting rich is a waste of time, because you spend your time on earth accomplishing this wealth that you can't take with you. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just simply saying my opinion of that is you're going to create this, and most of us give our entire lives to creating it. And once we get it and we're comfortable, it's time for us to lay the body down and go home. My view is it seems redundant, but this is just me. Wake up. Accept the fact that you are the God that exists. If somebody else had told you another story or something, a method, culture, you have to ask yourself the question is, how were you selected as a small group to be the superior one when we're all created the same way, equally? Same method in, same method out. The body that we travel in, the God self that's within it, the soul part of us, we'll use this body for some years, and eventually it's going to get too old to go on, or diseased or broken, accident, whatever the case may be. And we lay it down and get a new one and continue our journey. Some people believe after this one is over, we're going to get another life where we go somewhere else and hold hands and sing Kumbaya and be happily ever after. That is not the case. The body is only conducive to the existence of what is on this planet. So to think you're going to leave it and go somewhere else and get another body, I never understood that. And equally, if you don't abide by those rules or follow those rules, you're going to end up burning in hell. They say that. I don't buy that either. Because if I'm leaving my body here, what exactly am I bringing to this hellish place that's going to burn when I can't feel an emotion or pain? Maybe my eyes, I don't know. I'm just saying that. Wake up. Welcome to the reality of life. Accept the fact that the God that exists is within you. Accept the fact that the greatness that you hope to accomplish in life is in your control. And it doesn't matter where you are, what situation that you're in, you have the ability to make a change in your you say your thought process, and you have to be able to create that to get what you need from life. I've seen people out there been struggling, for example, on trying to lose weight, and they will say the same thing. They made a decision and change the fact that they don't want to live that way anymore. People who are sick, people who's got bad habit, drug habits, or maybe smoking, they made a conscious decision to say, I don't want to do that anymore. And they change their path in life. So we are our own creators. We create whatever situation that we're in, we've created it. If things are fantastic for you, good for you, because that's what you've created. If they're not going the way you want them or you thought they would have been, would go, change the pattern, change the dance. You cannot be fishing in the same pond with the same bait, roughly the same area, thinking you're going to catch something different. If you're using the same bait, you're going to catch the same fish. If you're doing something continually and you're getting the same results, I think they say that's sort of what we categorize as insanity. If you want the changes, you have to do what is required to make that change and consciously be aware of what you're hoping to accomplish. Move towards it and you will accomplish, be it good or bad. Do not wish anything ill on anyone else. And I've said this many times. The minute you're spending your valuable time wishing hurt or misfortune on another person, you must know that you ordered it, and the deliverer of that misfortune only knows your address. If you're going to dig a pit for somebody, be prepared to dig two, because one of them belongs to you. Our purpose then is supposed to help each other to get on their journey, stay on their path, help them. But be mindful, help them once they've asked you for help, and don't voluntarily thinking their life is wrong because it's not running the same way as yours. Your life is yours. Their life is theirs. If we're trying to convince them to come into our camp, we are being selfish and we're telling them that we're doing better than them. Therefore, they need to stop what they're doing and come and join us in doing this. That's arrogance. That's selfishness. That's wrong. You do not know that person's purpose or those people's purpose or that culture's purpose. Therefore, it is not your duty to correct what you perceive as wrong. It's your perception. Right and wrong is based on the opinion of oneself. If you think stealing is wrong, then you're not stealing. If you think murdering is wrong, there's a good chance that you're not murdering. But for those who doesn't see it as wrong, they will do it. And they will justify it because in their minds, they see it as right. Though conflicting to how we view it, we have to accept the fact that we don't know that person's or those people's purpose. Therefore, we can't govern them effectively. We can't tell them that this is the way because we know that's a lie. Because we don't know their direction. We can't offer a solution to them to improve any of their situation. We're just basically comparing them to us. But why would you compare another to you? Who made you this superior being? What made you this superior being? If somebody is willing to ask you for help, be prepared to help to the best of your abilities, but the help in hand is not to recruit them to be in your camp, be like you. I guess the best question, the best answer, the best question when you're being asked for help, how can I help you? What would you like me to do? We cannot assume that other people who aren't doing what we're doing is doing wrong because they themselves are gods as well. We don't know their purpose. Do we have any questions, any emails.
Oh, boy, do we.
Oh, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. If you'd like to get on board right now with a comment or a question for Barrington, our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Let me begin. Candy wrote in and said, God exists in us. I'm not so sure I believe in that. I know we are an entity, but we are not a deity. I don't agree with you. That's from Candy. Thank you, Candy. That's what makes the world go round, our opinions. Dwight says, guidance in life. That's a funny subject. If we are our own God, why would we guide ourselves to do wrong? That's from Dwight. Thank you, Dwight. Irene said the same thing basically as Candy. She says, come on, Barrington, we're not a God. We're a person made by someone else, a greater being. That's from Irene. Mitch says, so ignorant people are people that don't agree with us? How can that possibly be? If someone doesn't agree with us, how could we say they're ignorant? It's just their opinion. Okay, Mitch, thank you for that. Greg, hold on. I'm just refreshing here. Greg writes in and says, our superpowers are not taste and hearing and sight. Those are senses. I don't consider those superpowers. I consider superpowers perhaps touching someone and saying, cancer, go away, and the cancer goes. Or even a better superpower, I want to fly. That's from Greg. Thank you, Greg. Okay. Rhoda. I think it's Rhoda or Rhonda, but I'll think Rhoda. She writes in and says, Barrington, yes, physically we're all brothers and sisters. We come from the same cloth, but mentally, no, not even close. There's people in this world that are totally different from us, and no matter what you say or do, they will still be bad people. So mentally, they're not the same. And that's from Rhoda. James writes in, you've had a question like this before. He writes in and says, wow, Barrington, I kind of dig what you're saying, but it really sounds like you hate the God in the Bible. That's from James. Hold on, we're not done yet, Mr. Barrington. Let's see. Paul writes in, so if there's nothing out there, no heaven, no hell, then you say we go somewhere and come back. Well, where do we go? In a parking lot? That's from Paul. And I think you have one more here. Nope, that's it. Back to you.
Okay. All righty then. Let's get to this. Paul, I'm going to take yours first. We do go and we do come. And where do we go? No, I don't know if it's a parking lot. I don't know where we end up going, but it's probably not a parking lot because, you know, those things are relatively new. Anyway, I'm making light of what you said, but what I'm saying is that the heaven and the hell part is a state of mind. It's within our minds. We believe it exists, therefore it does. We believe it doesn't exist, therefore it doesn't. Who's right on that topic? Hell is the same way. When you leave, Paul, the body stays here. You step out of it, you leave it, you separate from it. The soul part of you carries on as life, and it is all that there is, the great wave of life. It exists everywhere. There's nowhere else to go. When you return, we call it the rebirth. Some say rejuvenating, some say reincarnation, but you come back in the form of a body. You get a new body, which is picked up, you know, through the mom, the food she eats, and the things that she does, and it becomes a part of you. You become that new entity, that new source. You are a brand new person. All you've done is you didn't go away. You've put the body down because it didn't work for you anymore, being it old or be it broken or whatever the situation may be. But you lay the body down and then you get a new one and you continue. this is it. There is nowhere else to go. We're here. You're in this room. When you lay the body down, you bury it into the earth, and somewhere along the line, somebody does something to create a new body to bring you back. I'm talking usually mom and dad, or, you know, whoever. And then you create this source, and you come back with a new body, and you start the journey again. Let me say this, Paul, wherever a tree falls, a new one will grow. And that is the truth of life. James, you're saying I really hate the book and the Bible, and it's not true. I've always said the Bible is a wonderful teaching tool. I don't know that I want to sell my entire life to believe in a lot of the source, that a lot of the things that it talks about. Hate? No, I don't have hate for anybody or anything. There's, you know, things I prefer and things I don't agree with, but it's not hate. That's a horrible tool to carry around through life, and do not hate nobody. As for me, James, I do not hate the Bible and the book. I do disagree with how it's being misled, and I do disagree with how the information is passed on that has no truth, no proof to its claimed truth. There's no hate there. I just prefer not having it as part of my life. There are good things in it, and our topic today is talking about God. And if you were to go to one of these books, this particular one in Psalms 82 verse 6, it says, we are the sons, we're all the sons of the higher being. We're all created by the source. So we're the sons of, we're born product of this God. You're all the sons of the higher being, something to that effect. And it's in Psalms 82 verse 6, it'll tell you that there. So if the dog has a puppy, we have to assume that puppy, though it's small, is still a dog. Once it grows up, it takes the place of the father dog or the parent dog, and it becomes the truth to all that there is. When we acquire the knowledge that is required for our existence, we are accepting the fact that we're growing into something much bigger and much greater, and a greater understanding. This is what I'm saying. I do not hate that book. Rhoda, thank you very much. I hope we're pronouncing your name properly and stuff. You say people are different mentally. We've all come the same way. We're all cut from the same cloth. All of that is truth. But you see, if you were raised in this corner and you were told these things, and you were raised in that corner and you were told that things, inevitably, it changes the way you view life. Inevitably, it changes the ideology or the respect you may have or may not have for another person, another existence. We start the very same way by the very same method. However, when you're exposed to different things, if you're exposed to this, you're going to react to it, and your mindset, your mentality is going to change inevitably. If you were in a situation where you're being beaten up all the time, you'd probably be mad and be angry. And if you're in another situation where you're taught to bend down and pray, you'll probably be a little bit more passive and believing. It all's to do with what was given to you after you showed up on the earth. Nobody shows up with a dictionary of attitude that they want to carry out through life. What we've experienced is from different method or different ways of parenting people or being governed by people. If you're in an abusive situation, it may create this in you. If you're in a non-abusive situation, chances are you will have no ill will about you or carry hate or anger. It's relative to how you were being raised. The mindset is the same. Now, we do get sick. We do get a lot of pressure. We do get a lot of things that influences our minds and making what we are in, as an adult. If we spend a lot of time in front of the TV, I think, and playing a game trying to shoot people, there's a good chance, in my opinion, that you may think it's okay to do that in reality, because we're unable to separate what is fantasy from reality, and we start living that life. The mindset among people, if scrubbed back to ground zero base, will be the very same, because we've come from the same place by the same method. We've all have a different purpose that we're hoping to accomplish while we're here. It doesn't mean that when we get here, we're any different. We're all the same. And I'm just saying that simply to say that mentally, yeah, we're not thinking the same way. We're thinking of different things. And a lot of it has a lot to do with how the early years of our lives were set up, were built, were created. What was I exposed to? what was part of my life. You know, if I was hungry, maybe I would start out running really fast to get some food and create some stuff. If I had an abundance, I'd probably lay back and think, it's okay, I'm bored, I'll do something new. It has to do with what you were fed when you were younger. Starting the race. Everybody, the cup is full with the same source, same entity. We change what's in the cup as we journey through life. Personally, some like to throw beer in their cup or vodka or orange juice. Others want a bit of this and a bit of that and spirituality, coffee or tea. It doesn't mean the content of the liquid part of the cup has changed. The flavor has definitely changed. Our mentality will change based on what you're exposed to. And that's the only differences between our people, the givers and the takers. It's how we see, perceive life. And more than likely, most often, that was a learned behavior. And if you're not happy with the one you have the ability to change it. Thank God that you are the God that has that ability to do it. Greg, you said it's something about the five senses, and I say that. It is a superpower. You may not think that we have the ability to do all these great things because you've not looked at it. Yes, I know I mentioned the five senses, and yeah, they're a part of us. I think it's fantastic that we could see and taste and feel and do all these things. That's supernatural power. Can we fly? Not more than straight down, you know, if you try to do that. Yeah, we could do amazing jobs if we're flying straight down the tip of a mountain. However, no, human beings aren't created for that. That's not us. They have other parts of God, other animals, other things that has the ability to fly. Unfortunately, we didn't, so we created a machine that could get us there. We created something, being the creator as we are. No, a human being cannot fly, and I've not seen one. I've seen a few on TV, like Superman and you know, those other guys, but we know they're not true. And then Santa Claus apparently can fly in a wagon, but that's also not true. Human beings will not fly, not in my time, and I've never seen it. We've heard a lot of myth stories and all these people, but we're not designed to. Do you have wings or do you have feathers? We need those things, and we don't have them. We're not designed to fly. And I know your topic wasn't about that. It was about the supernatural powers that we may have. We do. You're God. You just don't know it. Wake up, realize it, and live it. You, Mitch says about me saying people who don't agree with us are ignorant. I'm not quite sure that's where I went with that. I'm simply saying that if you disagree with me, I'm not calling you ignorant. It's your opinion of views on your life. I have no way of knowing what you know. I have no way of knowing your abilities or even your purpose. It would be so rude and ignorant of me, arrogant as well, to think that just because you disagree with what I'm saying, you're an ignorant person. No, heck no. We have different views in life. We have different tastes in life. We have different styles in life. And just because yours don't agree with mine, I have nothing to say about it other than I hope you're enjoying it. I do not believe if somebody disagrees with you, they're ignorant. A lot of the religious groups will say you are ignorant. They're trying to fix you. But this is then again where I say their egoic attitude is the one that's trying to convert you to believe their ways. Now, if we were to do that, you have to realize that we wouldn't have as many wars because we'd all be on the same team. But it goes back to the first question I was answering about from Paul about how, sorry, James, creating our mindset, our mentality, the differences in our mentality. I'm so wrong. That was Rhoda who said that. And it has a lot to do with how you were raised and what you were exposed to at a very young age in life. So going back to your thing saying that if you don't agree with me, the people are ignorant. No, I say if you didn't find your purpose, if you don't know how to get into finding your purpose, you will die without the knowledge of understanding your purpose. That would be you've missed out, lack of understanding, which is what I believe ignorant is all about. Okay. We've had a few questions here. Excuse me. Candy, you believe that you don't agree that the God is in us. You don't believe that the God that exists is within us. I hope you're not saying that in thinking that it is separate from who we are. It's elsewhere. It's over there. We could go visit it if we want. Everything that exists on this planet is all interconnected. It is all one. From the trees, to the mountaintops, to the water, to whatever food, mercury, if you want to call it that, salt, sodium, all of it is all connected to one, and all of it is wrapped up in you. The source that creates this, which is the soul that gives it the life, this is the God entity that makes it happen. The God that exists is in you. You are part of all that there is. You can't separate yourself from it, and neither can you leave from it. You're a part of it. You're a part of it. This is it. You're a part of it. We're all the same. Dwight asked, what would be guiding us to doing wrong? And it goes right back to a couple of the questions I answered earlier. It is how you were raised and how you were trained and what idea was given to you. You don't wake up one morning and become the villain. I think the infrastructure in which you've been a part of has created a villain. But you must know, Dwight and everyone else, within us we have the good and the bad, which is relative to opinion to a lot of people. But if we choose to feed the bad wolf, that's what we would be reacting to every step of the way. We would be that ferocious, whatever the wolf is, ferocious, angry animal that's going towards something maybe destructive. Or not. It's what you act upon. So what is driving people to do wrong? It is wrong, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, it's relative to the opinion. It is relative to opinion. And you definitely may see murdering somebody as being very wrong, but the question would be, what if that person was trying to murder you? Wouldn't you be defending yourself to the best of the ability, which takes a life, which is considered killing, which is what we call murder? There's degrees of it because the laws have justified it. But if you had to do it to survive or steal to survive or do whatever it takes to survive, you will, because we have this innate ability within ourselves to survive. This is how we've explored the entire world. When stuff goes bad at one part, we move and try to find something else. When the food source dries up, we move and try to find something else. When livable conditions become unbearable, we move and try to find somebody else, something else. It is considered survival. Wrong and right is relative to the opinion that you may carry about life. So I think we've covered most of it. Irene said, made by one. Irene, there you go. You said you believe that something greater than us has created us, and this source or this entity or this superhero God exists out there, and they're popping us out one by one, making us come here. The idea of that are making us, giving us everything we want. Yes, you obviously believe this is your truth. Are you able to prove any of this other than what you were told maybe from the ancestors who's delivered the message to your great parents, to your parents, to you, and you're probably going to turn around and pass it on? Is it true is the question that we'll always ask. We believe in the traditions of our parents because this is how they live their lives, but tradition is just peer pressure from those parents past. Is there a greater source that created us separate from us? And do you believe if there is a greater source separate from us that's created us, is there just one? You confirm it by saying you're confirming that there is the only one God. Because I said earlier, if there's more than one, they'd be fighting each other like we fight each other because we disagree with another person's ideology or views of life or the way they see life. We tend to disagree with it. So we're hoping, and we want to believe there's got to be just one God, so, you know, we could just fight. There is just one. There is just one source. You have to know that there is just one source. And you may not agree with me on talking about us being God. We created ourselves. We're going to rejuvenate and start again. That's fine. I could prove it. I could tell you to connect yourself to spirituality, open yourself to all that there is, expose yourself to the divine guidance, the true divine guidance, where you know the truth. Has nothing to do with me. Your ability to prove me wrong, go to it. Connect yourself to the spiritual aspect of life and learn how to connect yourself to all that there is. Tap into the source. The BS will disappear and the truth will stand in front of you. All the wisdom and knowledge that exists on this planet is within you. Somehow people are telling us to look out there to create or to find or to get this wisdom. I said earlier in the intro that if you accept the story that's being told to you, you've eliminated the possibility of you knowing another method, maybe the truth. Wake up. Wake up. The God that exists is the God that's within you. It is the divine, it's the guiding source for all that there is. We show up with an empty cup, and depending on where that cup, where you were born, and the culture you're born in, or the religion that you were told to follow, that's your name, that's your place, that's your religion, this is your man act this way, your woman act that way, all these things are just instructions. Are they accurate? Well, you have that ability to determine whether or not what you're hearing is the truth for the first time, maybe, and not accepting what somebody has just thrown in your plate as truth. You have to allow yourself to open your mind, open the ability to connect yourself to spirituality. When we talk about what is right and what is wrong, you are obviously saying that thinking that we're the God is wrong. And you're also saying that knowing that there is a God out there greater than us is right. Well, there's a conflict of belief or a conflict of interest. We're definitely not going to agree on what is considered right or wrong. Right and wrong is relative to the opinion. Now, I have told the story many times about the lion cub that grows up to become a full-blown lion with great strength and speed and agility. And this great lion meets a lioness. They have a baby cub, and that lion has a responsibility, according to the laws of nature, to nurture that cub, feed it, take care of it, protect it, teach it the skills of hunting on its own one day, and do good by it until he's able to stand on his own and move out and take care of everything. A part of that is the great lion has to go out and kill a zebra to bring it back to feed that baby, which is acting on its responsibility, the parent's responsibility to take care of that baby lion. So they do that, and they kill the zebra, and they feed the baby with it, and the baby's grown up, and the lion has done every single thing according to the laws of nature, abide by every single rule. He's taught him how to hunt, how to survive, how to defend, how to do all these things. He's done everything based on his teachings. Immaculate, good for him. Give him a hat, and then we'll graduate from somewhere. But if we were to go back and speak to the zebra, their first reaction would be, oh my God, that lion is so wrong. He has killed my uncle and ate him. Well, in order for nature to exist, both of these delicate balance has to be a part of it. If the zebra wasn't there, the lion wouldn't be there either. And if the lion wasn't there, of course, the zebra wouldn't be there. And it's a delicate balance of life. So we can't assume that one is more right than the other. We just pick a side based on what our preferences are. Right and wrong is only relative to your opinion. Have we got anything else there, sir?
We do. We have a couple emails. Betty wrote in and she says, I believe we should convert people when they are doing things wrong, such as killing, rioting, raping, etc. That is wrong in everyone's eyes. And if we can convert and put those ideas and belief systems in people, the world would be a lot better place to live with more peace. So that's Betty. Thank you, Betty. Roy says, so basically stealing is okay if we need to survive? That's all Roy says. Okay, Roy. I don't think that's what Barrington meant, Roy, but there you go. Let's see. Who wrote this? Rose. Rose wrote in and said, killing and defending yourselves are two different things. There's a lot of people out there doing a lot of killing, and there's people out there doing a lot of killing to defend themselves. Two different things. Okay, that's from Rose. Andy wrote in and said, Barrington, thank you for the anatomy lesson. When I studied anatomy, I didn't know the soul was above the heart. Okay. Thank you, Andy. I think Barrington was just making a point on that. And I think we are clear. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Andy. How do you know it's not? And what would it look like if you could see it? I know you're making a joke on the anatomy and all that stuff, but I understand that. It does reside. The true self that's within you, the spiritual self that's within you, does live in the chest. That's where the home of it is. If you want to call it the cockpit or the driver's seat, that's where you're doing your command and post, if you want to call it that. But the soul does live, reside in that part of the body. And if you study chakras and all these other things, it could clarify all of that for you. But if you sit still and you slow down your thoughts and you meditate a little bit, you're able to make that connection and find out that it does reside within the body. And when you do leave, you exit through there, through the crown of the head, and then you go away. And if you're not believing that there's an entity that leaves the body when you pass, you have to also take some time to research and find out that why at the moment of death, the weight of your body changes. Something is leaving. The moment of your dying or your passing, the weight of your body will always change. Rose, killing and defending, yeah, they're different things, but we tend to get caught up in this world. A lot of people are killing, and we don't know the reason why. Is it because of our differences in belief, or do we want their properties, or because we're greedy? Killing is a real thing. It happens all the time. Defending is also a real thing, and it happens all the time. If somebody was trying to take your land, take your family, take your everything, you are defending your land and your family and your everything else, but what if you had to kill them to do all that defending? What exactly are you doing? Is it still called defending? Because you're defending your life, you're defending your family, you're defending your property, you're defending every single thing. But in order to do all that defending, you must take these lives. Is it still just called defending because you're killing them? I just thought I'd say that. It's a very hot topic. It's a very, very hot topic. But I will simply just say, we will do what we have to do to defend ourselves. It's innate. You know, you can never sit in front of food and starve yourself to death. You'll become incoherent and survival instincts will kick in and make you go eat that food. Or if you try to hold your breath underneath the water, the survival instinct part of you that survived. They say the keeper or the observer, the one that doesn't do much, just sits back and watch your actions through life, will eventually kick in once you've lost all your marbles. This is why they say don't do it. You hear, don't do that. Don't do this. You have the ability to create survival. Roy, you're making a quick, I hope you're making a joke about all we got to do is steal if we want to survive. No, it's not about that. And survival is the ability to stay alive or wanting to stay alive. And everybody, every creature has that ability to do that. You know, when the pond dries up, where the fish hang out of the water's dried up from them, they'll try to crawl to a new bed of water. It's called survival. If we're hungry, we will eat a lot of what we think will save our lives. A lot of people believe the reason human beings starting eating flesh is because the need to survive. And we had to eat what was available for us to survive. We have this innate ability to stay alive. I said earlier, you cannot sit in front of the food and starve yourself to death. It won't happen. You will become incoherent. And then the idea of starving yourself to death in the presence of food all of a sudden seems silly to you. And then you'll get up and you'll make a meal, make a feast and survive if you possibly can. Is it okay to steal? No, it's not. It's not right to take something that doesn't belong to you. You may not have listened to the program long enough for me always saying, if it's not true, do not say it. If it's not yours, don't take it. If it is wrong and you're doing it, stop doing it. you're putting yourself into a great place to walk into somewhere where you can survive and do very well in life. Do not take something that does not belong to you. It doesn't help you in the long run. If you are hungry enough, you can ask and let seek, and you shall find. Oh, how do we stop people from doing wrong? And some people are wrong, and some people are wrong, and everybody's saying some people are wrong. Yeah, the idea of what they're doing seems very wrong. I'm responding to Betty's question or email there. People are out there are reacting based on how they were raised. People out there are reacting based on the information that was given to them or the method in which they were introduced to this planet. When you're saying somebody is doing wrong, you're saying that they're not doing what you would do. I get that. I totally get that. I see somebody walking outside in their shorts in the dead of winter. Man, is that ever wrong? I would never do that, but that's just uttering my own arrogance or my own ignorance or wanting to tell this person that their life is no good compared to mine, which is not the case. We're all different, though we're connected to the same. We're all different in the ideas and how we were raised. In your early 20s, you're trying a lot to impress people. As you get older, you realize that you're just wasting your time. Impress yourself. Learn to be who you are. Learn to accept everything about you. Learn to understand that everything that you participate in life, you've created it by a method of thought. We are all the same. We have all come from the same method. From the same place. We have this ability, this innate ability to rise above everything. Your ideas or your thoughts is what governs you based on how you implement them in your life. If you think it's good, then by all means, it's going to be good. Others may disagree with you, but if you are taking the simple principles of life of not trying to be hurtful to anybody else or take something or disadvantage of someone else, and this includes people who wants to tell other people the best way to live, how would they possibly know that? You are your own driver for your car. We opened the books today to talk about the God. We didn't get through a lot of it because I had a lot of amazing questions and concerns coming from you. I really appreciated it. So we're probably going to get back into what is the God that exists. A lot of people out there for the first time is disagreeing. And I'm simply saying, if you disagree, that's cool. That's very good. Because now you have the ability to go out there and prove it to yourself. How do you do this? You wake up and you study and you practice your meditation. Open the brain, open the mind, allow the thoughts to come in. The true vision of life will come to you once your surface is not as clogged, once your thought trench is not full. You empty the mind and do your meditation, practice it as best as you can. And once you allow yourself to tap into what is called the absolute truth, these questions will be answered by you. When you get that gut feeling in your stomach, don't ignore it. It's a message that's coming to you that is something that's going to benefit your life. It's never wrong. I've never heard anybody say, I followed my guts and here I end up in a bad place. Not true. It's always the opposite. I should have listened to my guts. I should have followed that teaching or the feeling I had. I would have, should have, could have, shouldn't never be a part of your everyday conversation. Wake up. Wake up, everybody. Wake up and appreciate life as it truly is, allowing yourself to understand that you are the greatest entity that exists on this planet. You're the greatest source that exists on this planet. But you must have the ability within you to find the source that guides you down the road that you deserve to be on. Wake up. Just wake up. And if what I'm saying to you sounds like a whole bunch of malarkey, open your own mind and tap into their own gates and look at all the sources out there that has created the greatest entity that's within you. Last word before I go, please don't think anything that exists is by coincidence. Do not believe anything that exists is by coincidence. It is all designed to be a part of your journey. through life. Thank you for joining me. We will talk again. Enjoy your week. Barrington is gone.
Thank you for listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington, right here on Reality Radio 101.